Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, where we'll be. And again, we want to thank everybody for coming out tonight on this cold, windy, and also thank you for your attendance if you're able to make it to Q&A. And I hope y'all got something out of that. Next time, Sunday night, we'll actually look a little bit more about the dinosaurs, because we just kind of fleetingly looked at that. But I do want to bring a little bit more out about did they get on the ark? Whatever else happened to them? Were they destroyed? Or what all happened? Did they walk with man? Or were they gone before man got there? Well, we'll look some more about that Sunday night. And speaking of Sunday, don't forget, if you're able to be with us Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, our Sunday school hour, 11 o'clock morning worship service. And then Sunday night, same thing we have here on Wednesday night, 5 o'clock Q&A and Awana, and 6 o'clock evening worship service. We will be in lesson 32 of Revelation Sunday night. So if you're able to be with us, please come. It'd be wonderful to have you with us in God's house. We're not nothing showy or fancy around here at Danieltown. We just believe the Word of God. We love the Lord, and we just try to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So with that said, if you have your place in Ephesians 4:18, please say amen. That sounds good, church. If you're physically able to stand, let's stand in reverence to God's Word. We'll read that together. If not, you can stand in your heart. The Lord knows. And the Bible declares, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Let us pray. Father, tonight we thank you, Lord, for all your many blessings. Lord, we thank you for your provision. Lord, we thank you tonight for a warm church, Lord, where we can come in out of the cold and just lift up the name of Jesus. Because, Lord, Jesus is what it's all about. It ain't about me or any preacher, Lord. It's about Jesus and His Word. And so, Father, tonight, I pray that you'll hide me behind the cross, Lord. May I decrease and you increase. And put your words in my mouth. You'd have me to speak tonight. Open our hearts and minds, Lord, to your truth. And just let your will be done, Lord. Move in a way that, Lord, when we leave, we'll know that we've been in your presence, Lord. So take us now and guide us, Father, I pray, in the matchless and holy name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. Now, here in Ephesians 4, basically what this passage is dealing with is these people are in darkness because they've never been saved. They've never been exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, that's what this verse speaks to. But tonight, however, I want to apply this verse to an important fact of life in the lives of many Americans, and especially in the lives of many Christians. And that is basically the topic of self-deception. You know, many people today, beloved, they are deceived. You know, we were talking back in the back about evolution. Many people are deceived by evolution. They think it's real. You know, there was one verse, however, I never did get to show you, and the Lord laid it on my heart just to go ahead and share it with you. If I can find it here. The Scripture declares unto us that all flesh is not the same flesh. Well, I can't find it here. I had it in my notes. Okay, here it is. In 1 Corinthians 15:39. Now, people that say, you know, everything came from a single-celled organism, listen to what the Bible says. If you believe the Bible, you have to believe this. 1 Corinthians 15:39 says, all flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. So that essentially declares that an ape cannot turn into a man, a fish cannot turn into a bird, and so forth. So we're all different fleshes. God made us all different flesh, and we all came from a human being, a true human being, called Adam, and then the woman was named Eve. So a lot of people are deceived about evolution. The word deceive means to mislead by a false appearance or statement to delude. Some years ago, a school teacher lost her entire life saving in a business scheme that had been elaborately explained by a swindler. When her investment disappeared and her dream was shattered, she went to the Better Business Bureau. The official asked her, why on earth didn't you come to us first? Didn't you know about the BBB? Oh, yes, the woman said sadly. I've always known about you, but I didn't come because I was afraid you would tell me not to do it. The folly of human nature many times, beloved, is that even though we know the answers, then that answer may be an out-and-out lie, we even still go on half-cocked and even go against common sense or wisdom. This book has never been disproven. It has always been proved to be the Word of God, inerrant, infallible, and even though God has revealed His truth all throughout the world, God said over in Romans 1 that that which is unseen is seen. How? In nature. I was telling you about the stars and all these different things, guys. That's how one way, the primary way that God revealed the fact that He exists. And the Bible testifies to that. How in the world a person can look out and see the changing beautiful colors of the leaves and look out at the majestic ocean and see the sunrise every day and the beautiful sunset and the stars and the moon at night. How in the world someone can say there is no God is beyond my understanding. But you see, the Bible warns us about deception. Not just being deceived in general, but it also has a lot to say about you and I deceiving ourselves. I cannot guarantee this is an exhaustive list, but I have combed through many Bible verses to bring this to you tonight, so don't deceive yourself. And I also want to give a shout out too to one of my old high school friends, Jared Robbins. He put some Bible verses on here, and as I began to read some of those Bible verses, the Lord began to speak to me, and He began to inspire my heart, and this message come out of those Bible verses. And so tonight, I want to warn you, beloved, about 13 ways we, you and I, can be guilty of pulling the wool over our own eyes. So this is very important. I know it's getting warm in here. Some of you may feel sleepy, so please fight and stay awake. Other of you, it may feel pretty good. So however it is, just bear with it. Fight back the devil, either way, however it is. Alright, number one. Let me plow through with this first major point. And I think this is supremely important. Number one is this. We are self-deceived when we misjudge our security or safety while being unfaithful to God. Let me say that again. We deceive ourselves when we misjudge our security or our safety when we are unfaithful to God. A lot of people say, hey, I'm saved. It don't matter what I do. Nothing bad is going to happen to me. That is a lie out of the pit of hell itself. Because if you and I, even if we're saved, if you and I sin, regardless of what it may be, the Bible tells us that God is not mocked. I'll get to that here in just a minute. But we are told that for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. That means He skins alive with a whip. That means that if you and I are a child of God, God will discipline His children. Furthermore, people that say you lose your salvation when you sin, I believe that is an out-and-out, cop-out lie, because how in the world could God discipline one of His children when they're being unruly? If we lost our salvation, if I lost my salvation when I sinned, how could God discipline me? Because at that point, I wouldn't be His child, would I? Who would God have left to discipline? Nobody. You know, Jeremiah 37 verses 9 and 10 speak to this. It says, thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves, saying, the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For though ye had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remain but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up every man in his tent and burn this city with fire. You see, the problem was the Jews were out of line. They were out of order and they were wrong. They had disobeyed God and disobeyed God and disobeyed God. And God told them, He said, you know what? You can deceive yourself, but here is the fact. The fact is that even if you were to fight back all these Chaldeans, that is the Babylonians, if you were to fight them all down to where nobody was left but weak, wounded men, they would have enough strength to come in and conquer the whole city, basically. And what is that telling us? That's telling us that there is a false deception. That we deceive ourselves when we think, hey, I'm okay. Even though I'm in sin, I'm one of God's children. Nothing bad's gonna happen to me. You better watch out. That kind of thinking is very, very, very dangerous. Such deception was seen in the conflagration with Jim Baker. Some of you remember Jim Baker. Some of you are old enough to remember him. Now, Jessica Hone was the former church secretary who committed immoral acts, adultery and whatever else, with Jim Baker, the former host of the PTL Club, which later brought down the whole PTL empire. You remember out over in Charlotte. Well, on September 28, 1987, this Jessica Hone said that God gave her real peace about granting an interview to Playboy magazine and posing for topless picture. On September 29, 1987, the news reports said that she still considered herself a Christian, but goes to God, quote, one-on-one, not through any church or organization. She also went on to say her mother, she did not consider herself a bimbo, quote unquote, but that her mother said she did. Now the problem is, beloved, is that sometimes we ourselves can say, oh, this ain't right, I mean, this ain't wrong, this is fine, God's given me peace about it. But you know what happens half the time when we say, God, give me peace? It's because the heavens are brass, we're out of fellowship with God, God ain't talking to us, we're not even trying to talk to God, and we say, oh, I have peace about it. When it may be nothing but a brass heaven above us, and God warning us that such thinking is out of line and it is out of step with being a Christian. If I am out of line with God, I better not deceive myself thinking, oh, nothing bad's going to happen. Now, please let me reiterate here. Just because something bad may happen does not mean you were out of fellowship with God. Take Job, for example. Now, Job went through a literal hell on earth, if you will. He lost all children, all 10 children at once. He lost all his stock. He literally had a stock market crash. And his wife turned on him and said, just curse God and die. And then his three buddies came over, sat with him for a week while he scraped skin off of himself, trying to get rid of them boils with a potsherd. And he sat on a literal dung heap, and then his three friends sat there. And then after a week, they began to open their mouth and said, well, Job, you know why this happened? It's because of some secret sin in your life. And Job kept defending himself. He said, I ain't done nothing wrong to deserve all this. But you see, God had a plan. God was bragging on Job. You know, old Slewfoot went up there and said, you know, hey, the reason Job's doing that is because you give him everything and you put a hedge of protection around him. If you take that hedge away and all them blessings away, well, he just cursed you to your faith. But God said, hast thou considered my servant Job? But a lot of people think, oh, when cancer comes, or when tragedy happens, or when the bottom falls out, they say, oh, you've been involved in a secret sin somewhere. That may be true, that may not be true. Who are we to judge? I ain't God. I don't know it all. What I am saying this, don't delude yourself into a false sense of security when we're out of step and out of line with God. It's just like my mom and daddy taught me. They said, if you get out from under our authority and what we say to do, you're going to be out from under the umbrella. What umbrella? The umbrella of protection. Because while I lived at home, my parents were my authority. And what they said, it didn't matter how old I was, what they said was my authority. Because I lived with Mama and Daddy. And so, I remember, I was probably 9 or 10, maybe 11, I don't know. I was getting headstrong, I know that much. Daddy had been working on the deck out there, Brother Rex. And I said, put your flip-flop, put your shoes on. He said, there's nails or something out there. I said, I've lived here all my life. I reckon I know this ground like the back of my hand. I went, yeah! The minute I jumped off that deck, it was about that long of a rusty wire went in my foot. And I hated shots. I don't like them now, but I go through them. I endure them. But back then, I was terrified of them. And where did we have to go? Boom! To the doctor's office to get a tetanus shot. So yeah, I got out from under the umbrella of protection. Well, guess what? God's done the same thing. God has said, do this, don't do this. If we get out from under that umbrella, you're going to have consequences. I mean, people can delude themselves all day long that they want to. But we'll mark it down. When we go against authority, there will be consequences. This world may say, oh, you can't discipline your child. This world may say, give them whatever they want to. God says, if you do this, this will happen. If you don't do this, this will happen. There will be consequences one of these days, somewhere, some way, somehow. Alright, I've done enough with that one. Number two. We are self-deceived when we hypocritically judge others who are practicing the same sins we are practicing. It's been said a lot of times, the reason sometimes preachers preach on certain pet topics is because they're guilty of doing the same sin. I'm not saying that's all the time, but that's statistically what they say. But I've learned a long time ago, watch out what statistics are, because they might take two people and say 50% of people approve of this or 50% not approve of that. And that's just two people, Rex. Well, listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 7:1-5. Now, let me remind you, this passage has been severely misunderstood. What passage? Matthew 7:1-5. He says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. You see, to judge means to decide, to distinguish, to condemn, to ordain. It can actually even mean the word damn. These verses do not mean that a child of God is forbidden to judge another. But what it does mean is that we are not to judge the inward motive of others in the sense of condemning them. Why? Because you don't know their heart. You cannot look at a person and see them doing one thing and say, that's why they're doing that. Did you see the before? I didn't. God did. God knows why they're doing what they're doing. God doesn't forbid or our judging wrong and evil action. The point is this, if you and I are harsh in our judgment of somebody else, watch it. You will be known. You will be judged yourself as the type of person who is severe in his consideration of others. You see, you'll be judged by the way you judge. And that's what our Lord's saying in those verses. So here's the thing. When somebody says, oh, don't lie. But we turn around and lie ourselves. That's self-deception. When we preach, you know, the old saying is, follow your own preaching. A sermon is easy to be preached. It's hard to live it. And so, beloved, we need to watch what we say and watch what advice we give others and make sure that if we tell someone to do this or not to do that, we need to make sure we're living by the same standard. You know, that's one of the reasons why the church of late, of several years, had gotten such a bad rap. I'm not saying Danieltown, I'm saying Christianity in general. It's because so many Christians are viewed by those outside the church as a bunch of lame-brain hypocrites. Because the preacher says this and this and that, and then what happened? Lo and behold, they're found in sin and guilt up to their eyeballs. But here's the problem. Don't put me on no pedestal. Don't put me way up here. I don't deserve to be up here. I'm right down here with the rest of you. Why? Because I know what I am. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. For some reason, God called me to preach. But that's what He did, not what I did. I tried to run from Him. I told God He was crazy. But He said, you ought to preach and preach my word. I said, yes, sir. I don't want to be a submariner like Jonah was. So I'm going to surrender, Lord. How about this? Number three. We are self-deceived if we think we're saved just because we make an outward profession of faith, calling upon the name of the Lord without obeying the will of God. You said, what do you mean? Matthew 7:21-23. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You say, what is that, preacher? Is that salvation by works? No, it ain't. What is the will of God? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to salvation.
That's the will of God. The problem is not everybody's going to get saved. Because, I mean, think about it. We're coming close to Christmas, right? And what do people generally do at Christmas? Give presents to other people. Show me the last person that refused a present. That's what salvation is. It's a gift. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. If there was ever a case in the Bible where somebody could get saved by their work, this is it. What will Jesus say? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The word prophesy can mean to preach. So I could stand behind the sacred desk and preach away in the name of Jesus and be lost and hell bound. You've got to know Him. It is not a religion. It is a relationship. You must know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How about the following verse? You know, the Bible teaches us that their works do follow them. Once you are saved, over in Ephesians, where a lot of people read from, to talk about salvation, they never do finish it all up. Listen, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's where half the time most preachers stop. Why do they stop? Keep reading. Verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, once you get saved, friend, you're supposed to do good works for Jesus. It ain't the good works that get you saved, it's the good works that show you're saved! You say, how do you know that, preacher? 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. Now watch this. Nor effeminate. That's your girly man. You remember Arnold, the governor, you know. Girly man, you know. Well, that's what that is, a girly man. Watch it. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's the sodomites. What people call homosexual. He goes on, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now listen to what he says in verse 11. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Not in the name of the Baptist. Not in the name of the Catholic. Not in the name of the preacher. You are saved, sanctified, and glorified by the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. And he says, and by the Spirit of our God. You see, salvation ain't coming up here and shaking my hand and turning over a new leaf. You've got to know that you know that you know you've been born again. You've got to go back to a time in your life when there was a change. And it ain't that I'm going to turn over a new leaf and I'm just going to go right from here on out. Because how many times have you made New Year's resolution? And how many times have they failed? You say, well, I'm going to stop drinking. You can't do that. You of yourself cannot by yourself. God will have to do it through you. Well, I'm going to stop smoking. You can't stop smoking, but God can through you. You say, how do you know that, preacher? I know that because the Bible says, with God all things are possible. Well, I just can't do it. Oh, yeah, you can't. I can't. But God, glory to Him, He can do it. I'm sick and tired of Christians putting God in a box. We serve the God who spoke and bang, there it was. Yeah. You said bang. I said, yeah, well, I reckon I do believe in the big bang. I guess God spoke and bang, there it was. You know, God raised the dead. Oh, God can't do that now. Who said? On July 1st, 1991, I got born again. I came alive. God can still raise the dead. He can still heal the blind. He can still heal the sick. We just don't trust Him enough. But you see, we're deceived if we think just by going through these motions, we make an outward profession of faith, that we're saved, but that we don't really obey the will of God. You see, anybody can come up here and say, "Thank you, Lord, forgive me of my sins, save me, amen." Anybody can say words, but you've got to mean it. It's got to be real. You see, we are also self-deceived, number four, when we follow another Christ. Luke 21:8, Jesus said, and He said, "Take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them." I cannot tell you how many false Christs there are out there. The Mormons have a false Jesus. Their Jesus is not our Jesus. Their Jesus was the spirit brother of Lucifer. Jehovah's Witness Jesus ain't our Jesus. The Jehovah's Witness Jesus, after He died on a torture stake, God, Jehovah, destroyed His physical body. And when He came back in the form of Michael the Archangel. That's not in my Bible. That ain't my Jesus. Do not be deceived. Don't follow another Christ. Make sure your Christ is the one from the Bible. And beware of Catholicism. A true Catholic crucifix is not one-sided. A Catholic crucifix, the true one, you go to the Vatican, you'll see it. Turn around back, and you'll see Mary on the back, praying, with her hands stretched out, claiming that Jesus couldn't have made it through the cross unless His mother was praying for Him. I got news for him. I got the Bible right here. Jesus called old Johnny Boy up, and He said, "John, behold thy mother. Woman, behold thy son." And He says, from that hour, that disciple took her with him. And you know when that was? It was right before 12 o'clock. Jesus didn't want dear mama to see him turn into the sin of the world. He said, "Johnny Boy, take mama on home. I don't want her to see what's about to happen." Mary's function at the cross ended right before Jesus took our sin upon Him. And she didn't even see that. She wasn't even there. That's Bible. That's not Baptist doctrine. That ain't Protestant doctrine. That's B-I-B-L-E. I think it's high time we get back to that book instead of the doctrines of men. He'll say, "Oh, we don't pray to Mary." Well, you pray to St. Christopher, and you pray to St. Woohoo Yaya, and you pray to St. Woohoo Blah Blah over yonder. Bible says we don't pray to dead people. I pray to a living God. And that's the sole mediator between men. It's the man Christ Jesus. It ain't the Pope. It ain't me, I know. It ain't no priest. But people are deceived. We are self-deceived when we think we're smarter than we really are. Point number five. 1 Corinthians 3:18. "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise." Now, I am no way uplifting myself because I know what I am. I am just an old country preacher. Yeah, I went to seminary. Yeah, I got some degrees, but that ain't what makes me who I am. That book and my God make me who I am. But I tell you right now, I am not smart. I am not the smartest person in the book. I am not the smartest person in that blessed Bible right there. I am a student of the Word of God. But there are people out there, they look at you and they say, "Oh, you believe that old King James Bible, the Word of God." Well, I reckon I do. I reckon I'm just dumb enough to think that it says what it says, that it means what it says, and that God is big enough to preserve His Word. I've often told people, if you don't think God can even preserve His Word, how in the world do you think He's going to preserve your stinking rotten soul from the pit of hell? But oh, there's a lot of people. They think they're smarter than they really are. And all it takes half the time is somebody get to education. And then suddenly they get smarter than God. I'd be careful about that if I were them. How about this? We are self-deceived when we fail to take heed to be mindful of the enemies and the temptations around us. 1 Corinthians 10:12. "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." You say, what does that mean, preacher? Well, here's what I mean. Somebody who's saved, they walk up here to a bar of a tavern or to the ABC store. And God delivered him from drinking. I'm going to go in there and I ain't even going to do nothing wrong. How do you know? You see, our problem half the time is it says, do not open. And we keep inching forward and we keep itching to try to figure out what's behind there. And we want to figure out what's down there. God said, don't open it! He said, don't eat of that fruit! But what happened to the woman when the devil convinced her that it was all right? You see, we need to be careful because some Christian, some saved people, some church folk think, well, I would never do that. Well, that old Jim Baker did. I'd never do that. How do you know? How do you and I really know? My Bible says, flee youthful lust. My Bible teaches me to flee temptation, that I am not strong enough. By the way, so many people say, well, God ain't going to put more on you than you can bear. That is not true. I don't have the verse. That just come to my mind. The verse there teaches us that God will not allow more temptation upon us than we can bear. And listen, you got to finish it. He says, for He will with every temptation provide an exit, a way out. You know what that means? You know what that means? That means the only way you and I can ever get out of temptation is to exit. You know what that means? That means we are not strong enough to endure temptation. You see, the way He allows us to get through it, not put on us more than we can bear, is to provide a way out. What we do is we see the exit and say, I don't want that. I want to jump into sin. Remember when I preached about Sunday? That God's name is so holy, He said, don't take His name in vain. But the Bible teaches us that God elevated His name above His word above His name. And there's preachers out there, they misquote the Bible. They don't even read the Bible. They read sermons of other preachers off the internet and read commentary and compile everything, and they don't even read the Word of God. You know what I'm tired of? I'm tired of people coming to church and never opening the blessed book. I mean, if you don't have a Bible, we got plenty of them. We got truckloads of them. Maybe not truckloads. But we got plenty. I got one right here. It's a waterproof. You can take it with you. Duck Dynasty fishing if you want to or whatever. Take it to you in the bathtub. It'll be fine. Mama. But when we fail to take heed to be mindful of the enemies and temptations around us, that's part of the problem why the church is in the shape it's in today. It's because we have looked around us and we've sat like knots on a log and we've seen the enemy encroaching closer and closer and closer, and it's just like evolution. We send our children in like lambs to the slaughter. We have to make sure they are taught that they know that they know that they know the truth. That when they hear these lies, they will know, hey, my Bible's right, that person's wrong. Number 7. We are self-deceived when we fail or refuse to examine ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5, He says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate? The Bible here is warning us not to be self-deceived. In other words, you need and I need to take time to make sure we examine our heart, examine our mind, examine our motive. To make sure we're in the faith, make sure we're right with God. But how many times have you heard someone say, well, I've been saved and I ain't sinned in 10 years? Yeah, wonder what planet he's from. I tell you right now, this old boy's got to make sure he's prayed up and he's right with God. Amen. When I'm out there stocking, and I'm stocking at the store, and I'm making, oh, that looks so pretty. And then I walk away, and 5 minutes later, blah, 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 blah. I look over there, and Lord help me. I didn't know what the human race was about, Rex, till I got in retail. And I said, "Yes, Lord, you do have a sense of humor. Because you made me, for one." No, folks, we have to examine ourselves, or else we're going to get too high and mighty. We're going to get on our old high horse and look down our nose at other people. Just like you and I probably can be. Hey, I know I've been guilty of it. How about you? How about this? We are self-deceived. Now watch this now. When we think too much of ourselves or too highly of ourselves, Galatians 6:3, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." There's a lot of folks out there, once they get that title preacher, once they get that title deacon, once they get that whatever it may be they're looking for, oh, then it's just like a peacock, just like a turkey, strutting, woo-hoo! Then he needs to have his own parking place. It's just like a lot of times at church. Many times we get accustomed to where we sit. But oh, somebody come in and take our seat. Huh? I didn't see your name carved here. And if it is, we need to have a little talk about destroying property. No, I'm kidding. No. We need to act humble. We need to be humble and meek. Not think too much of ourselves. That's one of the problems with the church nowadays. Somebody comes and they don't even bat an eye. They don't go out and say howdy. They don't say hello. Now, you may be new here at Danieltown, but I'm going to go ahead and let you know that for years at Danieltown, we've had something not only the handshake, but the Danieltown hugs as well. I've been told this is one of the most lovingest churches there's ever been. I mean, I remember the first couple of Sundays I was here. It's just the guy that sat in the pew. People came up to me, they talked to me, they shook my hand. And lo and behold, one of them just took me in his arms, hugged me. I said, okay. What did Jesus say? "My disciples shall be known by their love one for another." And there is the straw that breaks the camel's back. If you and I can't love each other, how in the world are we going to show them how to love? "When that person offended me," well, get over it. Suck it up, honey. Pray. Ask God to forgive you. "Well, they need to forgive me. I need to forgive them." Hey, whoa, wait a minute. Forgive them and move on. Our time is too short to have cold shoulders in church. I get tired of churches where you go in and it's so cold you can hang meat in there. "Well, they offended me." I don't think too highly of yourself, because what in the world did we do to Jesus? "Well, the Romans fed him." Well, yeah, but who was it in spirit form standing there, yeah, spitting on the blessed Savior? Right. Whose sin put him on the cross? Right. Me? Mine? Who nailed him to the cross? Right. Oh, the Romans, the Jews. Oh, it's me. I'm the one that's guilty. We are self-deceived. Point number 9, I'm almost done. When we do acts and think, no harm will come. Galatians 6:7. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Someone came to me one time and said, "Preacher," I said, "Yes." I said, "What does that mean?" I said, "This is what it means. If you sow corn, you ain't going to get tomatoes. The Bible teaches us if we sow to the flesh, we will reap from the flesh. If we sow to the Spirit," by the way, sow doesn't mean sowing. It means planting. Whatever you plant, that's what's going to come up. You know, parents and guardians, sometimes they need to remember that. I tell you how sometimes it even happens. If you ever hear him clear his throat, remember. Listen to me how I clear my throat. I learned by how he did it. I found that out one time. I said, and I said, "Wait a minute, I've heard that before. Let me try that." I said, "Whoa, wait a minute. Daddy clears his throat like that." You see, as a Christian, you can teach somebody else your ways without even knowing it. He didn't tell me, "All right, now boy, this is how you clear your throat." He didn't do that. I just lived around it and I learned it. We teach, sometimes we don't even realize it. We have to be careful. How we act in church, how we are in church, and especially how we are outside the church. Because how many times do we say, oh, I'm by myself. I can do this. I can watch this. I can read this. I can think this. I can see that on the computer. And nobody will know. I told you the story before. I'll tell it again. Preacher went one time down to another city. Nobody knew him. His wife was sick. Couldn't come. And he was there by himself. And he said, you know what? Nobody here knows me from Adam Tomska. I think I'm going to order me a hooker. The hooker came in. They did their thing. The next morning, he woke up pleased. But he went in there to the bathroom and in red lipstick, welcome to the world of AIDS. He hid it. He tried to hide it, everything he could. But when his hair started falling out and he got so feeble and frail, suddenly it came out. Numbers 32:23. Be sure your sin will find you out. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Be careful what you plant. Too many people, from Monday through Saturday, they're out sowing wild oats. And on Sunday, they come in and pray for crop failure. Number 10, we're about done. We are self-deceived when we abandon sound doctrine to believe fables. 2 Timothy 4:3-4 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Have you ever sat in some of my teaching or some of my preaching and you're just saying, shut up. I want to go home. It's hard to keep my eyes open. That's called endurance, baby! Well, guess what? I've sat just right where you are. I know. I remember Preacher Riddle was up there. He sounded like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. And I've been called to preach. All I remember, I know Daddy will appreciate this, because he was the one doing the work half the time. We was raising rabbits for FFA. I was. Well, he was. And all I remember was like rabbits. Ding, at that moment, I had 95 rabbits. Rabbits. Ding, I woke up. And he said, ain't that right, Brother Craig? Huh? I had no clue. So yeah, if you're like that, I know where you're coming from. But you see, some people, they get tired of enduring, and so they just leave. They don't want the Word. They want to be entertained. And so they go somewhere where they can see Elvis behind the pulpit. Okay, I won't sing his song now, but anyway, you get the point. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves, teacher, you turn the TV on, tell me where there's a gospel preacher. Oh, you'll see teachers out the wazoo. Yeah. Why? Having itching ears. You know the old dog. That old dog, he ain't going to turn you away. You get that spot. Oh, he loves it. He'll love you. He'll lick you to death. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fable. That's why when I resolved in my heart not to teach lies and fables, and I said, God, I'm going to preach your word. I'm going to teach your word. Whether there's one there or 100 there, I'm going to go with the old plan and the old book. And if they like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. So I'm not deceived that I don't think we'll have 100 here. But hey, with God, anything's possible. I watched Numbers for years when I was a young preacher. But God said, son, stop watching that. You want to watch Numbers? Get in the book of Numbers. Otherwise, leave my sheep to me. You preach and teach and do your duty. I will do mine. Amen. Is that all right? We are self-deceived when we are only hearers of God's Word and not doers of His Word. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It will do you no bit of good tonight if you leave here tonight and all you've done is hear and then you never put it into practice. It won't do you a bit of good. And after pastoring for over 10 years, I can tell you sometimes, some Mondays and some Thursdays, I've wondered, Lord, is it doing anything? And he said, "You do your job, I will do mine." I said, "All right." Here's another one preachers are bad about. We are self-deceived when we believe we're faithful to God, but we can't control our tongue. James 1:26, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." Watch what you say. Watch how you talk. And then finally, point 13. We are self-deceived when we claim to have no sin. 1 John 1:8, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." There's been a lot of people say, "Well, that means they ain't saved." And they didn't say that. It said, "The truth is not in us." And what is the truth? John's Gospel says, Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth." There's a lot of people out there saying, "Well, I ain't done nothing wrong." But when the very thing they've done is wrong and sinful. Do you remember what sin is? Go back in this book. It will tell you. Don't let your heart tell you. Your heart will lie to you. Don't say, "Well, I know what I'm doing." I think not, because I've said the same thing, and I've wound up somewhere where I said, "Where am I? I thought I knew what I was doing." How many times have we been guilty of that? How many times have we had the wool pulled over our eyes? But then, looking at that, how many times have I pulled the wool over my own eyes? Too many times. Folks, I hope you got something from that tonight. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes.